Every believer has the capacity to live as Jesus lived. Live victoriously over sin, sickness, death, poverty, and every evil works of the enemy. You can transform not just your own life, but the lives of people around you. The more you expose yourself to the words of God, the more you see it flow through you. In this message, Pastor Philip teaches on how you can respond to God's unconditional love for you, live your life in the reality of His power, and be all His Word says you can be.
God has been good to you. You are dressed. God has been good to you. If you think well, you find out that God has been good to you. When I see people that are ungrateful, it's because they cannot think well. They cannot think well. If you look at your life, no matter how terrible you think your life is, there's somebody whose life is more terrible than your own. God has been good to you. And God has been good to us as a church. I am grateful to God. I have danced my dance this week in my house. I've knelt down and I've wept before God this week. Because if you're in my shoes, you know what it is. I've never been to Bible school before. I used to say jokingly, there are some of you that are seated in this church that you are more qualified, if it's by qualification. You are more qualified to be the pastor of this church. But God chose me. He chose me instead. Never been to Bible school. Zero experience in pastoring. I was a choir member in my church. You saw man who was here on Friday. Man was my choir director. God picked me from the choir. From choir to GU. You know what that means? From choir. I did not go from choir to HOD of choir, then to deacon, then to assistant pastor, then to pastor, then to provincial pastor, zonal pastor. I just went from choir. And I was not the head of choir, I was backup singer. He just picked me from... God is picking someone from the back this morning in the name of Jesus. Picking from the back and brought me to the front. And said, you are the one. That's why I'm grateful. You know, if I was qualified, I might not be grateful. David said to his wife, he said, the God that picked me from the backside of the desert and used me to replace your father. Your father. That's what I'm thinking. If I think deep, I will find the reasons to thank God. We started this church with 6 people. No, I don't say it right here. We started this church with 5 people. My wife and I and 5 people. 5 people. In 2019. Just in 2019. Yeah, what you see today is just 3 years old. Out of the 5 people, 3 were coppers. NYS copper. Copper shop. They were just in the city. So it's not like we have very big, mighty men behind us, you know, who are there to support financially and be there to give. Nada. I'm not saying nada. Nothing. Only God. That's why I can't misbehave. Because if God leave me like this, I don't get anybody. As you see me, I don't get anybody. Now only God. 3 years. 3 years journey. Look at how big God has made it in 3 years. Zero experience pastoring. Zero knowledge seminary. Symmetry, sorry. Knowledge. Nothing. Just came with my music notes to the stage. It's God. It's God. It's okay. Can you please give us 7 principles on church growth? Can you give us 6 fundamental foundation? It's God. It's God. That's why I dance the way I dance. That's why I'm not proving anything. That's why you can see me do what I'm doing. Because it is God all the way from the beginning. And the same grace that has helped this church will help you in the name of Jesus. What is the grace of God? The grace of God is to help a man where and in the circumstances that the man cannot help himself. That's the grace of God. The grace of God is the extension of God's help to a man. When you look at a man that has nobody, cannot help himself, God's grace is God's help stretched towards that man to help him. Someone say, I'm helped by God. Say, now say, I'm helped by God. Man can be helpless. Man may have nobody. When man fell helplessly in sin, man fell from light into darkness, from light to death. A man could not help himself. So God came through. God came through to man when man could no longer help himself. There are people that at the sound of my voice, you are in a situation that you cannot help yourself. You have called all the numbers that you have, all the people that you know, and yet nothing is happening. God will help you this morning. Your amen is not a lie. Blind Bartimaeus needed help. He shouted, "Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me." Shouted, "Jesus, thou son of David." They said, "Keep short." He said, "No, Jesus, thou son." Because it is only in God that you find genuine help. It's only God that you ask for help that will not screenshot it. Only God. Only God. Only God will not save your begging. Only God. Only God. I say, man, it's only God. My wife and I reached out to a man of God in the city. In this city, when we started church. Because we are both unlearned in this thing. She has never pastored before. I've never pastored before. But there are people in this city who have pastored. So we said, let us reach out to someone. And this someone that we're reaching out to was someone that we would have said, okay, this person should be able to be of help to us. So I sent him a private mail. I begged him in that mail. I said, "Sir, help me. Help me. I've never done this before. Teach me how to do these things. If you teach me, I will minimize my mistakes. Teach me." And I sent that very vulnerable message to him, begging him. He's in this city. He's a man that I've submitted to for many years. Only for people to start calling me that, "Oh boy, we saw your mail, so you can beg." I said, "How?" I said, "We saw your mail that you sent now." He was showing there, see him begging. See him begging. I sent a private mail to beg. I told my wife, with tears in my eyes, I said, "Let my face that walk. If God called us, he will stand by us. Let's go face it." We went and faced it. See, they are not facing me. Because we faced it. Only God, only God. See, Jesus comes, only God will take the glory over SLC. Don't let human beings be able to glory over your life. Some of you are begging too much. You are begging too much. Everything begged. If they see your call, they are muting it. Because it's always begging. God's help is God's grace. Therefore, I prophesy, if anyone is in any helpless situation this morning, receive help! Hebrews chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let us come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain help in time of need." Let's come boldly to the throne of grace. We are dealing with exceeding grace. The throne of grace is the throne of help. Come boldly. Come boldly to the throne of... Give me Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 6. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 6. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 6. I want to read through that scripture. Do more. You have a mic. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 6. God helped us in the midst of our helplessness. God helped us in the midst of our low-mindedness. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 6.
And you had... He quickened.
You are the quickened.
Who were dead in trespasses.
The Bible says you were dead in trespasses. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. Open your Bible. The media has not given us Bible. You have to open your own Bible. Don't trust any man. God is your help. Open your own Bible. That's how it starts. Ephesians 2, verse 1 to 6. You were dead. Pastor Fumi said on Friday that Lazarus was a dead man. Couldn't have helped himself. He had no faith to be healed. He had nothing. He could not even pray to be raised. Continue, Duma. What does it say next?
Who were dead in trespasses.
Dead in trespasses.
And sins.
And sins.
Wherein in time past.
Yes.
Ye walked according to the course of this world.
Yes.
According to the prince of the power of the air.
Yes.
The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience.
Yes.
Among whom also we all had our conversation in times past in the lusts of our flesh,
yes,
fulfilling the desires of the flesh,
yes,
and of the mind,
yes,
and were by nature the children of
God. It says by nature. It's not even by act. You were by nature children of hunger. That if God looks at you like he was already hungry. By nature, not even by your lifestyle, by your build. Man was naturally made in a way that he was built in sin. Continue, what does it say next?
Even as others.
Yes.
But God.
It now says, but. There's an inclusion, but yes.
Who is rich in mercy?
God was rich in mercy. I was dead, but God was rich in mercy. I was low-lived, but God was rich in mercy. I was unqualified, but God was rich in mercy. I had committed several abortions, but God was rich in mercy. I had lived my life so terribly, but God. Someone say, but God. But God was rich in mercy. God, the throne of grace is the throne of mercy. Continue, what does it say next?
For his great love.
His great love towards us, wherewith he loved us, yes?
Wherewith he loved us.
Mm-hmm.
Even when we were dead in sins,
yes,
had quickened us together with Christ.
Yes.
By grace ye are saved.
Yes.
And had raised us up together.
He raised us up together to sit in heavenly places in Christ. Christ
Jesus.
So grace came and raised us up. Everyone who's in any valley of helplessness, you are raised today. Amen. Your amen is not alive. Amen. Valley of indebtedness. Valley of indebtedness. Valley of helplessness. You look at your life. I'm ministering to someone this morning. You look at your life and all around you, there is helplessness. You are in a valley. God will raise you up today in the name of Jesus. So it is grace that lifts us up and does not just lift us up. It causes us to sit down in heavenly places. It causes us to sit down in heavenly places. It was in our grace. Say it again, say now grace. I wish I would say if they use charms, you use God. Now grace. Now grace. Now grace. It's grace. Pastor me, it's grace. You are not the most hardworking person. People, they work cool. You see, and those of you that are successful in your businesses and you say, well, based on my qualifications. There are PhD holders in this country that applied for Dangote's driver job. There are people who traveled abroad, who studied abroad, and they are hungry today. I know someone who did a master's in UK and is looking for a $30,000 job in Nigeria. Now, grace. Grace lifts us up, and grace causes us to sit in Christ. So, grace is God helping a man where he cannot help himself. They used to say that in heaven helps those who help themselves. That is not in the Bible. Heaven helps those who help themselves is not in the Bible. What's in the Bible is that heaven wants to help those who can't help themselves. I was that man that couldn't help himself. And my wife would bear me witness. She would wake up in the middle of the night most times and see me panting up and down in our bedroom. What's happening? I said, I'm thinking. I've never passed over. Nobody in my family has ever done this before. Why did I accept this ministry? Why did I pick this call? The Lord called you, didn't leave it in silence. There are nights I would go to my children's bedroom. Two of them then sleeping on their bed. And Satan would say, why do you want these children to suffer? Why? What did these children do to you that you say they must suffer like this? Innocent children. You that you could have gotten a good job, gotten a solid place, you stay here, say you want to do. Why? These children have offended no man. It's just that you are a responsible father. Have I faced my fears? Yes. Do I have my anxieties? Yes. Are there times I thought I never accepted what God... several times, more times than not. I wish I never took this. But God was rich in mercy, knew I couldn't help myself. You know, some of you have big, big parents who can stand by you and stand beside you. My father and my mother were dead when I was 14. I lived an orphan all my life. If I took a step, I better be ready to face all the consequences. And I came from a polygamous home. So everybody faced their mother children. But God, you need to know this. God came to me in my helplessness. There were nights I would wake up. He would say, don't worry, Philip. I will take care of you. I will take care. And some of you are there right now. You are in that valley right now. God is saying, I will take care of you. I will say, God will take care of me. So God's grace comes to us in our helplessness, raises us up. And he is to us what we cannot be to ourselves. When man sinned, man could not save himself. Man could never have been his own sacrifice. God said that he was going to give himself as an offering to man. Because there was no man that was God enough to save man from sin. God became man to save man from sin. God gave himself. You know, the story of Abraham and Isaac is a very touching story. Abraham said to Isaac, Isaac said, Father, this is the bond, this is the wood, this is the fire. He said, where's the sacrifice? He said, the Lord himself will do what? The Lord will provide is a prophetic word. The Lord will provide for himself an offering. That God will be the one to provide his own sacrifice for himself. It was a word spoken into the future. Because Abraham and God had a lot of similarities together, even Isaac and Jesus. Isaac was a type of Jesus in the Old Testament. I've told you before in Exodus, you know that everything you see in the Old Testament are just types and shadows. Everything, there's nothing real in the Old Testament. Everything you see is just test run. God was test running for the New Testament. So anything you see is not a real, thing. Isaac was not real in the sense that Isaac was a similitude of Jesus. Let me explain. He was a promised child, like Jesus was a promised child. Is that true? He was promised. Jesus was a promised child. He was dearly loved by his father, like Jesus was dearly loved by father. Is that true? Yes. His birth was a miracle. Just like Jesus Christ's birth was a miracle. Is that true? Answer me now. Yeah. He yielded himself to his father's will. Like Jesus yielded himself. When Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, Isaac was already about 30 years old. He was not a boy. He willingly allowed himself to be laid on the cross, on the wood, to be sacrificed. Just like Jesus did. It will shock you, and you can do your own research, that the Mount Moriah that Abraham was going to sacrifice Isaac, is the highest peak of Golgotha, where God sacrificed his own son Jesus. It's the same location. For 3 days, they were looking for the mountain where he would sacrifice Isaac. Is that true? So that Isaac was dead in the heart of his father for those 3 days. For 3 days, Jesus Christ was dead in the ground. Three days. And then he rose him back to life. Because literally that was what happened that day. Isaac was brought back to life, like Jesus Christ was. So it says God himself will provide himself an offering. Because man couldn't help himself. The grace of God provides us with that. He brought us salvation. He helped us when we were unqualified. And a man whose life shows this very category in the scripture is Paul. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Help me do more. 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 12. Paul was whose life was strongly showing that the grace of God is available to us even today. Say, and I thank Christ, Jesus my
Jesus
Lord,
who had
enabled me. See that? For he what? Answer me.
For that he counted me faithful.
He counted me faithful. Ma. He didn't say he found me faithful. Please. He didn't find him faithful. He counted him. When he was counting with 1, 2, 8, when he got there, Paul, faithful. Leave it. Even though. He's faithful. He wasn't faithful. He counted him faithful. And he put me in the ministry. Verse 13, quickly, media.
Who was before?
I was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious, but I obtained mercy. Paul says, I was a blasphemer. The grace of God is what gives qualification to the unqualified. He could never have been an apostle. The grace gives assistance to the resisted. It's the grace of God. It was the grace of God that picked Joseph as the last one. How many last one are here? Last one. The last one, wave your hands. Wave your hands, last one. Yeah. There was a neighbor. What did you hear about last ones? Last born, Joseph. Last born, David. Last born, Moses. Last born, Gideon. Last born, Jephthah. Last borns are in God's plan. Took him from the back. Grace took him from the back. One that was not qualified. One that didn't know anything. God's grace gives advantage to the disadvantaged. Paul was like that. Bible says he didn't call them. He said, for those that he called, he justified. Romans chapter 8, verse 30. Those that he called, I love that scripture. Those that he called, he justified. They were not called because they were justified. They became justified because he called them. I don't know if people are getting this church today. The grace of God gives advantage to the disadvantaged. Paul was disadvantaged. Let me give you one thing that Paul was. Paul was a murderer that became a deliverer. Acts 22 verse 4. Acts 22 verse 4. Paul was a murderer. There is nobody that would have qualified to be an apostle that lived the life of apostles. And they were all filled. 22 verse 4. Help me, media. 22 verse 4.
I persecuted
what?
This way unto the death.
He said, I persecuted this way unto the death. Paul was killing believers. He said, binding and delivering into prisons, both men and women. That was Paul. Paul was a murderer. If human beings were to pick, nobody would have picked Paul. Nobody would have picked Paul. I mean, if you yourself, if you were to pick, you pick yourself. Because you know yourself. You know, when Minister Yada was saying, he says, God knows what nobody knows. Sees what nobody sees, and yet it's for you. And that's the kind of backing God gives you. He knows you. He knows you are not worth that thing. I said, no, that's my son. That's my son. That's my daughter. That's God's grace. He said, I did so much evil. I tore the church apart. He said, but God found me. His grace towards me was exceeding. He was a murderer. It was grace that puts God's life, put God's work in the life of Paul. Look at Rahab. Rahab was an harlot. An Olocho. Modern palace. It's not just Gimanda palace. Eh? Everybody doesn't know them again. Eh? What did the king say? Eh? Ron's girl. Rahab, no, Rahab, they don't have. Rahab was living at the gate. So they are head of the city. Everybody knows them. Even like when I say, even the king had to say, those men, did they come? Rahab does know how to treat men. He has been there. So he said, hide up. It's not today. One is up, one is down. If you know what I'm saying. Two might be up. Your session has not finished. Another one's appointment is already due. So you go up and wait for me till I be finished. Rahab the harlot was in the same genealogy with Mary the Virgin. Virginity and harlotry put in the same place. Only grace can collapse that. Yes, she was an harlot, but she's the great grandmother of Jesus. Jesus chose an harlot as a great great grandmother. An harlot. He chose her. He was telling us something that is not by, it's not to him that runneth, not to him that winneth, but the Lord that shows mercy. This race is not to the strong, it's not to the swift, but unto God. He was telling us something. For those of you that you have so much confidence in your CV, certificate, you get it? Grace is your CV. Paul was a murderer. Nobody would have chosen Paul as an apostle. Number two, Paul was a latecomer. Paul was a latecomer. He wasn't there when the others were there. Paul did not see Jesus face to face. Did it shock you that Paul was not there when Jesus was on the earth? He was a late comer. In fact, he said it himself. If you look at 1 Corinthians 15 verse 8, 1 Corinthians 15 verse 8, give it to me, I need that scripture. 1 Corinthians 15 verse 8. He said it himself. He had no physical contact with Jesus. He said, Jesus Christ appeared to this person, appeared to that person, appeared, and then he said, he appeared unto me. Give it to me, do more. If you
and last
it.
Of all.
He said, last. Say last. Say, they say last. I am last. That's what he said. I am last. Last of all. Last of all. Last of all. He appeared to me too as one born out of due time. What does he say? As one born in the wrong time. Paul said, I came wrong. I came at the wrong time. I was a late comer. He never had the opportunity to see Jesus face to face. Yet, grace put Paul in such a place that Paul explained the crucifixion of Jesus like nobody else did. Paul did not see Jesus crucified. But when he explained what crucifixion meant, even Peter says, we never understood it like this. It was not there. He said, I'm crucified with Christ. Paul knew that for every believer, Jesus hanging on the cross, every believer hung on it with him. Peter didn't know that. He was the firstborn. Paul was the lastborn. They saw him rose from the dead. Catholic Blinakuta. Peter saw him. He said, we saw him. Facially, we saw him physically. Yet, they did not understand what resurrection means. Peter didn't know it. Thaddeus didn't know it. Paul knew that I rose from the dead. The day Jesus rose from the dead, I rose with him. Only Paul knew. The people that came first didn't know it. Paul explained that the body of Jesus, what he called the blood and the wine, was the communion. He explained it. He was so full of mysteries that even Peter said the things that our brother Paul wrote are so difficult to understand. That was a late comer talking. If you're a late comer here, there's still a plan for you. Ah, there's a plan. There's a plan for you. I am sent to every late comer. Everyone who had risen up late. Everyone who woke up late. I am sent to you this morning. God is speeding your feet in the name of Jesus. Your colleagues may have gone before you. Your mates may have gone before you. But by the season that you have come into, God will put speed to your feet. In the name of Jesus. Sit down. Let me show you a late comer in Bible. His name was Jehu. 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 God said to Elijah, so when you get back, anoint Elisha as a prophet in your stead. Anoint Azael as a king over Judah, over Syria. Anoint Jehu as a king over Israel. Three anointings. Anoint Elisha as king, as a prophet in your stead. Anoint Jehu as king over Israel. Anoint Azariah. So the instruction was clear. Do you know that Elijah came and didn't anoint those two people? Even the one they said he should anoint, which is Elisha, that one had to use desperation to collect his anointing from his hands. Elijah wanted to carry everything. Nobody must be like me. Succession is your success. Until you are succeeded, you have not succeeded. Let me not go there. Succession is the true test of leadership. To know how strong you are, leave the scene. The true test of a leader is knowing. The church became stronger when Jesus Christ left. That's a true leader. If your organization is getting weaker because you are not there, you are not a true leader. If nobody can do anything because you are not there, you are not there. The Bible says without vision, the people perish. It didn't say without a leader. That means if the leader has communicated the vision properly, he can leave the scene. The people cannot perish. When the leader communicates the vision properly, Jesus left and the church became stronger. So Elijah wouldn't live like that. He wants to carry everything. But he anointed Elisha mistakenly. Now we are left with Azael and Jehu. Open up the book of 2 Kings. Azael and Jehu. 2 Kings chapter 8 verse 15. We saw Azael became anointed as king by Elisha. Anointed by king. Elijah should have anointed him, but Elijah didn't anoint him. Elisha anointed Azael. Now, Jehu was left without an anointing. Jehu, the man of God. Jehu was called of God, but nobody told him. Jehu became an ordinary captain in the army. When Elisha was about to die, the power of God came upon him and he called one of his sons and said, "Hey, arise!" Let me show you that scripture. 2 Kings chapter 9. 2 Kings chapter 9. That was a latecomer. He was late because nobody told him. Today I tell you, God has a plan for you. 2 Kings chapter 9. I'll start from verse 1. And Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophet. You see that? Elisha was supposed to be a contemporary with Jehu. I want you to understand what I'm saying. Elisha was supposed to be a mate. Do you get what I'm saying? Are you following me? He's supposed to be a destiny mate with Jehu. That means, because God says, you are not Elisha, I'm not. I said, three of them were supposed to run their business together at the same time. But here was it. Elisha had become a very prominent prophet. He had gone ahead. As Daniel has been anointed, Jehu was left alone. Now, Elisha was sending his boy. His own boy. Elisha was a boy to Elijah. Elijah was supposed to have anointed Jehu. Elijah didn't anoint Jehu. He anointed Elisha. Elisha is now sending his own boy. So you can see how far they have gone ahead of him. 9 verse 1. Elisha the prophet called one of the children of the prophets and says unto him, "Gather up thy loins and take this box of oil in thy hands and go to Ramoth Gilead. And when thou comest thither, look out there, Jehu, the son of Jehoshaphat, the son of Nimshi, and go in and make him arise up from among his brethren." Sometimes God has to call you away from people. Ha 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 ha. He says, "Separate me, Paul and Barnabas." They were church. They were a church. They were praying. He says, "They separate." There's a separation within separation. They were a church, and God says, "I need to separate you even from inside the church for the assignment I want to call you for. Then take the box of oil and pour it on his head, and says, "Thus says the Lord, I have anointed the king of Israel." Then open the door and flee and tarry not. Verse 4. So the young man, the prophet, went to Ramoth Gilead. And when he came, behold, the captains of the host were sitting. And he said, "I have an errand to thee, O captain." And he said, "To which of us?" He said, "O captain, to thee, you are the one I'm talking about." The captain said, you are the one I'm talking about. Verse 6. And he arose and went into the house and poured the oil on his head. And said unto him, "Thus says the Lord, God of Israel, I have anointed the king over the people of Israel, people of the Lord, even over Israel." He saw him sitting among soldiers, captain, playing draft. King, oh king, playing draft. Have you been to officers' mess before? Seen officers talking? How many of you have seen officers talking before? Apologies to all military men. But if you see, even their songs are songs of vulgarity. Have you seen that songs they sing? They sing with sex. They sing all those kind of songs. They drink. So imagine what Jehu was. Wisdom was there with his friends. After another girl, he talks, "Hey, see, when I don't do him, say that guy, they prove strong head. But I know you'll be strong man, I go follow him. And so you be." That was the kind of discussion that the king of Israel was having. But that guy came and said, "Hey, Jehu, I came for you." He said, "Who?" He said, you. He said, "Say it here. What are you talking about?" "Say it, one of us are here." "Say it." "No, what I want to say, I can't say it here. You have to stand up." Pull him into the room. Pull him. He made him stand up. "Katuku bruta, I came to make you stand up. Stand up from among Nikompu. Stand up from among Meduka. Stand up." He anointed him. Poured his oil on his head. "Say, you are now king." You see, there's no time, I can't read your story. But when he came out, his friend says, "What did that mad guy say to you?" He said, "What?" He said, "I'm the king of Israel." He said, we cannot continue to do this rubbish you are doing." They got him and us, and he started running. Ha! Jehu started running towards his destiny. This man had been sitting down before, playing with his friends, but today he has found out that there's destiny waiting for me. Grace has been made available. He started running. Jehu was running towards. I preached this sermon before. I shouted his name, Jehu, because I know there are Jehus here this morning. Running. Nobody could stop him. Why was he running like that? It was the urgency of a latecomer. The urgency of it. Have you seen a latecomer before? Have you been late before? When I was in secondary school, we are late. When you are late, you hear the bell. Destiny bell ringing. Back down, time up. You are about to run. Somebody's telling Popo, say bye, Popo. Just shut up. I'm not here for Popo. I'm running towards destiny. Somebody's telling bees, say shut up. I'm not here for that. I'm running towards destiny. Anyone who is late doesn't have time for rubbish. Don't have time to check nonsense. You are late. You are late. Destiny is waiting. You are late. I know you are 22, but you are late. You are late. But when we get to heaven, they wipe the tears off our eyes. Ma, when we get to heaven, so they wipe the tears. Why are they wiping the tears off our eyes? Because suddenly they will show you what your life would have been. They will show you what your life was programmed to be. You will know that you were late. You were late. You played too long. Soldier, wake up! You are sleeping too long. You're sleeping too long. They will run. Destiny is waiting. I saw Jehu was running furiously. Now the king of Israel and the king of Judah were at Jezreel. You know what I love about Jezreel? Jezreel is where Jezebel lives. Jezebel. And that was the same place that the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah and he ran ahead of Ahab to Jezreel. You see, it's a grace for running. When you find your track, don't stop. You see, when God gives you time, when he gives you back time, don't waste it. When he gives you back the time you lost, don't stop. Keep running. Destiny is waiting. Young people, listen to me. You don't have all the time to be checking that rubbish you're checking. You're too long for that. That was Jehu. That was Jehu. We wouldn't listen. So the kids came. Hey, who's that? It says Jehu. He said, what do you know? He says, running ferociously. So they knew him by his running. Daddy, that was not the first time Jehu was going to run like that. But he has been running to Biapalo. He has been running to prostitute houses. So there are people whose passion and whose energy they had invested. So all he did was to take that same energy. Now he was going to run because now he was aware that he was supposed to be king and not be sitting down playing that. He was a late comer. Do you know that in the same day, wisdom, same day, Jehu killed Jezebel. Same day, Jehu killed Jehoram. Same day, he killed Ahaziah. Jehu covered territories in one day. I prophesy to you today. The grace for speed is upon you. Sit down. Grace for a latecomer. Paul was like that. He was a latecomer. Everyone had gone ahead of him. A latecomer. You see, I'm talking from experience. I'm a latecomer. So people say, Pastor Philip, you need to rest a bit. I say, I'm a latecomer. Pastor Philip, you need to take it slow. I say, I'm a latecomer. The bell has rung, and I don't want to be late. So Pastor Philip, one of my friends said, Philip, even God rested. I say, after what? God rested. After I created the heavens and the earth, he created the sky and the firmament. He created all the animals. I say, what have I created? What have I created? I'm resting. He said, let me rest when I finish creating. Let me rest. Rest is for the laborious man. Anyone that has not worked deserves no rest. Only workers should rest. God rested. Paul was a latecomer. Number three, Paul was a Pharisee. Philippians 3 verse 5, the Bible says that he was a Pharisee. The only sect that Jesus had problems with in the entire life were Pharisees. Paul was a Pharisee. David. If for anything, God should not have chosen a Pharisee to be a front line for his ministry, because Pharisees resisted Jesus. They resisted him throughout his life. So his qualification became his own qualification. He was a Pharisee. He belonged to a sect. That's not it. Number four, he was a Benjamite. Do you have Philippians 3 verse 5? It was a Benjamite. Philippians 3 verse 5. After all, it says, circumcised on the 8th day, a stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, an Hebrew of Hebrews, as touching the law, a Pharisee. He said he is the tribe of Benjamin. Do you know that in the entire Bible, there's nothing tangible written about the Benjamites? Benjamin was the least tribe in Israel. It was not Judah. It was not Levi. It was not Reuben. Who is Benjamin? What did Benjamin do? He was just a spoiled boy. The typical last boy. Did nothing. Didn't wash plates. He asked me to wash plates. Nothing worth noting was written about Benjamin. So Saul was disadvantaged, coming from a tribe that was restricted. There are people at the sound of my voice that your restriction is your family line. You have come from families that don't rise beyond certain limitations. It's not your fault. Paul was a Benjamin. His name was Saul. In fact, God took a risk with Saul's life. The only time God chose a Benjamite, the only time in the entire Bible that God was going to choose a Benjamite, was the king Saul of Israel. He was a Benjamite. And he failed God terribly. King Saul from Benjamin. Because, yeah, I'm answered. I'm not doing again. These people, let's not try them again. But then he saw Saul. Okay, if Benjamite or being a Benjamite was a coincidence, what about the same name? So it was both a Benjamite. So Paul's appointment was a risk. Grace will make God take risk for you. I know nobody in your life has ever attempted this before. I know nobody in your destiny, nobody in your entire generation has ever done it before. God, by grace, is taking a risk on your life. So let's try him out. Let's try him. There are people here, God is trying you out. Your father didn't get there. Your mother languished till she died. But God has given you a chance. God has given you a chance today. The things that stop your parents will not stop you. I say it again, the things that stop your parents will not stop you. In the name of Jesus. Paul belonged to a tribe where nothing was written about them. Absolutely nothing. Nothing noteworthy. I am tempted to say some personal stories, but I'm trying to save the secrets of my family. But nobody has ever tried this before. Nobody in my entire family ever tried this before. From where I was coming, nobody ever tried this before. I would remember vividly, Wisdom. I was having a program, and I promised people that God was going to heal all the sick people in that program. When you promise people on behalf of God, say, God is coming. Hallelujah. Mark out. I say, how? I say, read it in his word. That where two or three are gathered, I'm there. That's how I know that he's coming. Bring the sick. Bring the dead. And as I was praying in the middle of the night for that program, Marcos Coprete, Satan came to me. And he reminded me that when I was a little boy, my elder brother, who was a pastor, who led me to Christ, was trying to pray for somebody who was lame in his feet. And the person didn't get healed. There is no way under heaven I would have remembered that thing. Satan supernaturally reminded me. You see, Satan wants to remind you of your past failures. That's his job. God has never reminded anyone of their failures before. Anytime you remember what you did wrong, it was Satan. It was Satan. God has never told anybody what they did wrong. He says, look, if your brother who was anointed, who was a pastor, who led you to Christ, couldn't do it, what makes you think you can do it? That was a strong doubt. It almost seared up every faith and killed it in my life. But I thank God for the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost said, Philip, stop that. He said, that's not your only brother. You have one more brother. His name is Brother Peter. The book of Acts chapter 3. That Peter and John were going to the temple in the hour of prayer. And there was a man sitting by the beautiful gate, and they were there laying from his mother's womb. And Peter says, Stephen, God, have I not? Such as that. Stand up in the name of Jesus. And he rose up from his lameness. That's not your holy brother. You have another brother, his name is Brother Paul. That your brother Paul was preaching in Lystra. But there was a man who sat there listening to him. The Bible says he had faith to be healed, as Paul taught. And Paul, perceiving that he had faith to be healed, stand up on your feet. And this, your brother, was able to heal a man from his lameness. He said, but that's not your holy brother. You have another brother, his name is Brother Jesus. The Bible says he went from city to city, from nation to nation, from village to village. Everyone that touched him got healed from their disease. You can choose 3 over 1. Boy, you have more brothers that have done it than brothers that didn't do it. Choose Brother Jesus. As I say that, I have another brother. If my brother couldn't do it, I have another brother. So today you might have come from families where they have no stories of glory. But God has chosen you. God has chosen you. Grace will take you beyond the limitations of your family. And it's available. I have so much to say, but my time is up. Rise on your feet.
Thank you for listening to this message. Meditate on these words and watch how it will transform your life. For inquiries, please call 0909-672-9827 or 0807-548-5997. You can reach us on Instagram and Facebook. Instagram at SL Church NG. You can reach us on our Facebook. That's Supernatural Life Church.